igniting, inspiring, and evoking the fire within.
You're doing 14 to 18 reps, and you're mixing up the exercises. So you're doing cable machine flies instead of incline dumbbell flies. Then the third week, you're supersetting everything. So you're going to go from dumbbell chest press to dumbbell incline chest press to machine flies, and you're going to rest a minute, and you're going to do that all over again.
I don't want to say obsession, because it's your lifestyle.
Well, that's a borderline obsession, yes.
He's obsessed, people.
My goal has always been to be the best possible version of myself. You know, I enjoy a piece of salmon with Ezekiel toast and a couple eggs. That tastes good to me. Little Debbie has your number, huh? You want the bigger delts, you do the exercise. You get the bigger delts. To be honest, the best results is when a client comes in and says, you know, we just went on vacation, and thanks to you guys, we went hiking, and I'm glad I've been training because I wouldn't have been able to do the hike that I just did. Those are the best results right there. You need to hold yourself accountable or have someone hold you accountable.
You're listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Beyer.
Today, on episode 19 of the What's Your Inspiration podcast, we have Arnold Connolly on. Arnold is a country music artist with Summer Sky Music Group located in Nashville, Tennessee. LaDonna Brewer Caps represents Arnold. The music was recorded in Nashville with Toneslinger Recording Studio, with Barry Wayne producing and engineering the songs. There at Toneslinger Recording Studio, Arnold recorded a 5-song EP that included the following songs: The Cowboy Dance, Saying Goodbye, Single Wide Trailer, My Eyes Are Only on You, and I See You. And now, a world premiere of Arnold's song, The Cowboy Dance. This should be fun. Here we go.
Come on in. know you want it. You know you need it. Come and get it.
Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the What's Your Inspiration podcast. Like I said, I have good friend, singer, songwriter, musician, recording artist, Arnold Connolly on. Arnold, how are you doing today?
Well, Fox, I'm doing great, buddy. I've been, you know, working all day up in the rock quarries, and that's what I do for a living during the daytime. And I made it home back home tonight, and I had a guitar lesson at 6 o'clock to 6:30, and I'm here talking to you tonight, doing well, can't complain. It's been a good day.
Not to make a pun intended or not, you certainly are a man that wears many hats.
Oh, absolutely. you know, I started in the mining industry when I was a kid, when I was 19. I'm in my 40s now, and I started underground coal and worked in Illinois, Eastern Kentucky, East Tennessee, got in the rock industry in Georgia in 96 and spent some time in Alabama. And somehow I got to New Jersey. I got above the Mason-Dixon line, they call it. I kind of chuckled a little bit when I said that. And worked up in different various plants, and now I'm a general manager of 8 locations with a large aggregate company up here in the Northeast. So, yeah, many hats, you can say that.
That's true. And to use another, I guess, cliche type thing, there is no grass under your feet. People, Arnold, he might be 44 years old, but he looks like he's about 31. I mean, you do not seem to age. What is your secret?
Oh, I don't know, man. I guess just a lot of hard work and getting up early and trying to, you know, live right, do people the way I want to be done, you know. And I think that's the number one thing is, you know, you're never too good for anything. And, you know, everybody's got an important job. You know, we're all part of the same body. We just have different parts. And I just try to be Arnold, but nobody different, and trying to have fun along the way, you know.
I hear you. But I tell you what, Arnold, I feel like I work pretty hard, and I feel like I look like absolute garbage. So I don't know how that works out.
You don't look like garbage there, Fox.
Okay. So we'll go on from there. We started off the podcast, Arnold, with your song, The Cowboy Dance. It has been a big hit here in New Jersey, or at least where I am in New Jersey, and where you're currently stationed. Explain how that song, The Cowboy Dance, came about.
Okay, Fox. Well, Cowboy Dance... I'm originally from Kentucky, and far west Kentucky. My wife's from southeast Kentucky, and we met at University of Kentucky in 1990. And anyhow, when I go home to visit my mom in west Kentucky, she likes to go dancing. And my mom's 73 years old, and I like to take mom out, and I love to hang out with older people. And no matter what, I like to have for 70, 80, 90 years old. So, you know, I thought, you know, I'd like to write a dance song, you know, something to get people on the floor, you know, and the cowboy dance, you know, country, western music, the cowboy, kind of comes together there. And so my wife was going to Kentucky. It was in August of 2013, and I was by myself. And, you know, I pulled my keyboard downstairs. It was me and the cat, I think. At that time, I didn't have a dog. So I started messing around with the keyboard and playing around with the different keys and everything. And I got this background going on. And next thing I know, I've got my cell phone out. And, you know, I said, I'm going to do a little dance for this thing and put some words to it. And I wrote this, I guess, this contraption. I mean, I didn't know it was going to be so big. You know, I just thought it was just me goofing off. And I don't even know why I posted it to YouTube, but I did. Well, I'm a plant manager at one of our big locations at this time in 2013. And I was in a different position than I am now. And I come into work one day, and I hear this music going. And I said, what is that? And I said, wait a second. I know that music. I said, wait a minute. And I walk in the room in the office, and the supervisors are dancing. Everybody's doing the cowboy dance. They're chuckling, having a good time. And I'm like taken back, you know, I'm saying, oh my goodness, I'm kind of worried because the dance is kind of, you know, it's shaking your hips a little bit. And I said, I don't know if my company's going to like this. You know, I was kind of a little bit nervous about it.
Well, it's a little risque.
Trying to find out. What's that, Fox?
A little risque dance, yes.
yeah, the risque dance, you know, and I asked my mom, you know, I said, Mom, I said, because if Mom approves, it's okay with me. I said, Mom, can I put that on there? She said, Son, you're 40. At that time, I think I was 41 years old, something like that. I said, you can, I mean, you're old enough, you'll be able to do what you want to do. And I said, okay, Mom. I said, if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. I didn't want to embarrass my mom, you know. And come to find out, it went over so good, Fox. When we moved the main office from Mount Hope, New Jersey to Parsippany, New Jersey, the very first video that's played in the executive boardroom, now this is a brand new office, it was the cowboy dance. And executive, senior executive vice president loved it so much, he just kept playing it over and over and over again. So, yeah, so that's really how the cowboy dance came into being. And then when I decided to go and record professionally, you know, I had to do the song. And we did it down in Nashville. And when I went down to Nashville to do it, you know, with the musicians and all, I asked them to make kind of a line dance out of it. So, you know, so if you watch the original video, it's got a little bit different beat. It's a little bit faster beat than the true country version that I did in Nashville. But it's an excellent song, and everybody just loves it.
I do, too. I mean, come on, everybody, get on the floor. Shake what mama gave you. It's catchy. It's outstanding. Again, it is the cowboy dance written by Arnold Connolly. So episode 19, What's Your Inspiration podcast, here with, among many things, recording artist Arnold Connolly. Arnold, if you go back to some of your earliest memories of your affinity for music, how did you get into it, and what has made you such a good musician today?
How did I get into it? My earliest memory of music was when I was a kid. I'm probably 3, 4, 5 years old. And in my household, Don Williams was playing. You had Jim Ed Brown playing. You had Charlie Pride playing. You had Ernest Tubb, Loretta Lynn, the greats of country music. Conway Twitty is one of my favorites. One of my all-time favorites is Conway Twitty. And I can remember Mom and Dad having the music playing on the radio, and I'd be up against the speaker listening to the music. And I was just, you know, I just dreamed within that music. That's what I wanted to do and sing along with it. And, you know, through the years, as I went on through elementary school, I'd enter the talent contest, and I would win. I'd be like the lead singer in the fourth grade play, the sixth grade play, and that kind of thing. So, and then as I got to junior high, I took trumpet, you know, I did that, and I did that all the way through high school, did a semester in college. However, I grew up kind of poor. I didn't have a whole lot. My father died when I was 6 years old. He was a truck driver, and my mom remarried, and my stepfather died when I was 15, and wow. I was the oldest son. And coming from a rough background, you know, you have to do what you got to do. And my mom and dad, you know, my mom never graduated high school, my dad didn't, but they really pushed an education. And so I have to tell you the story because kind of it goes with the music thing. So I went on to college. I was the first in my family to go to college, and I graduated with a minor in engineering degree from Kentucky. And I knew an engineering degree would make me money. Music is a crapshoot. Even though it was my passion, I had to do what I had to do for my family.
Sure.
So I did the engineering thing, did the coal mining thing underground. I've been in the rock business, still in the rock business, mining business. But my kids are about grown now. And all these years I've been writing songs. I've probably got 150, 200 songs I've been writing over the years. And so my kids are about grown now, and, you know, went back to school. I got my MBA, and I decided I was going to do music now. And, you know, I got a little bit of an nest egg, so I'm not a starving musician anymore. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to make it, now is the time. So I went to a local music store here in Washington, New Jersey. It's Mr. Music. And I went in there one day, and I played a song. It's an old Hank Williams song called "The News Is Out All Over Town." And yes. When I did that, he said he knows a couple guys looking for a country singer. And he said, "Are you interested?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." This is June 24th of last year, which is 2016. So I go in there, and in about 15 minutes, we're playing music with these guys. And when we got done playing a few songs, I said, "Hey, Arnold, we want to do your music." And I kind of got taken back a little bit. I said, "Well, wait a minute." I said, you know, I'm willing to do what you guys want to do. They said, no, we want to do your stuff. So lo and behold, from that day forward, we formed a band called Fire on the Wire. And on Tuesday nights, we play from 6 to 8:30, and we started playing out a little bit. You know, we're just having fun with this thing. And, you know, so I told my wife, I said, you know, music is such a passion for mine. I would like to go to Nashville and record an album. Well, I guess it's been a few months ago. I was on Facebook, and I made a comment to about that. And one of my friends I knew from back home, West Kentucky, said, hey, I've got a cousin in the music business in Nashville, and her name is LaDonna Brewer Capps. I said, really? And about that time, LaDonna pops up on her and says, yeah, call me. And she's with Summer Sky Music, and outside right there in Nashville. So I called LaDonna up. We got to talking and everything. We just had a great, great conversation. We hit right off the bat. And she said, Arnold, she said, what are your influences? And I told her, I said, you know, Conway Twitty is one of my favorites. She said, well, that's funny you say that because Joni Twitty and I are really good friends. We grew up together. I said, are you kidding me? That's like one of the greatest. I mean, he liked over 50 number one hits in country music.
That's awesome.
And that's awesome. I said, you've got to be kidding me. She said, no. And so she said, what can I do for you? I said, Miss LaDonna, I don't know anything about the music business. I'm a coal miner. I'm a rock miner. I said, I will tell you, though, I've got a lot of songs I've written. She said, well, if you ever come to Nashville, let me know. And if you want to record, you know, we'll just record. I said, okay. So July 5th of this year, 2017, I happened to go home on vacation from New Jersey to West Kentucky. I have a house in West Kentucky, and my house is about 2 hours from Nashville. And I called Tone Slinger Recording Studio up, which is affiliated with Summer Sky Music. Right, they're right in the same building and everything. And, you know, I asked if they had some recording time. And I spoke with a Mr. Barry Wayne Danner, who's the engineer and producer and owner of the Tone Slinger Recording Studio. And he said, yeah, Arnold, we got some time. And I said, well, I'd like to record 5 songs, which is an EP. And the long story short of it, when I went home to Western Kentucky, I went down and recorded 5 songs. And the Cowboy Dance happened to be one of them songs. And it went over wonderfully, you know. So that's kind of a story about how I got into the music side of it. And, you know, I'm having fun with all this whole thing.
A couple of things strike me, Arnold. I mean, there is not much that you can't do. I have a hard time when I eat breakfast in the morning not dribbling milk on my chin when I eat cereal. You work at a rock quarry. Well, you have an engineering degree from UK, and you're about to be, I'm telling you, your stuff is going to be all over the place from hearing it. There's just really not much you can't do well. Are you hiding any other talents?
I don't know. I mean, I think when you walk through life, you discover you have other new talents that you didn't know you have. For example, I didn't know I could touch people the way I do. I think we all touch people in a special way. Mm. And people kind of let their guard down around me. And I didn't realize until later in life that was the case. If people trust me, they just automatically just seem to trust me, and which is a good thing. So I really don't know. I'm sure I've got talents I don't even know yet, but I don't know what those are. I know music's my passion, and I like doing mining. I love my, you know, rock mining. That's what I went to school for, and I did get my master's in business from Centenary University up here in New Jersey. So, you know, it's a local school. Centenary's a great school, you know, and I'm in the alumni. They're celebrating 150 years anniversary Centenary. I'm in the alumni magazine right center of the magazine, which that was an honor, you know, it was a great honor. And one of the things I always say all the time is dream and dream big. It's, you know, you should never quit learning. So I'm sure I got talents I'm going to find as I get older, you know, you should never quit learning. And hey, I'm taking guitar lessons, and I just recorded in Nashville. So what's that to, you know, so I don't think you should. And one of the reasons why I do that, Fox, is because I like to meet creative and innovative people. I'm not going there just to learn how to play guitar. I'm going there to learn from other people. And, you know, when you go to college or go to school, it's not just a piece of paper you're earning. You're networking, you're making friends and lifelong associates. How I got to New Jersey was because I knew somebody, not because I had a piece of paper.
Right.
You know, so that's the beauty. The journey is the beauty of the whole thing.
I totally, totally agree. Speaking of a journey, and you alluded to it earlier, July 5th this year, you recorded an EP at Tone Slinger Recording Studio in Nashville. Just tell us a little bit more about that experience. I mean, you recorded all these songs, these 5 songs, in one day, correct?
Oh, yeah. What a day that was. I'd gotten up early in the morning in West Kentucky, and I have a house on Kentucky Lake in Benton. It's Marshall County, which is my home county where I grew up in. And my wife, you know, she loves me, but she's not a big fan of country music. She's more of a rock and roll kind of thing. I like both. I like all kinds of music. And, you know, my wife said, I'll go down to Nashville with you. And my mom jumped right on it. You know,
right.
So we head on down to Nashville. I think we left like at 7 in the morning or something, pouring rain. We get down there, and around 9:30-ish, I guess, is when I got to the studio. And before I came to Tone Slinger, I spoke to Mr. Barry Wayne, who owns the studio. You know, Barry Wayne, one thing about him, I think he has 8 number one gospel hits.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And he's a huge guy. I looked him up a little bit today, and I think I counted 8 number one gospel hits back in 2006, 2007. I think he's Entertainment of the Year gospel, and he's got a lot of credits. I mean, you have to look Barry Wayne up. If you Google him, you'll see. And so I'm working with the best of the best in Nashville, okay? So, you know, before I get there, he said, Arnold, you're not going to need any kind of musicians or anything. I tried to get my guys from Fire and the Wire to go to Nashville with me, but they didn't want to go.
Okay.
And I kind of felt a little guilty about going down there at Fox because, you know, I'm out of respect for them. I said, would it be okay to record some songs? And my guys up here in Jersey said, Arnold, you own those songs. You knew what you want with them. You wrote them. I said, yeah, I know, but we play them out, you know, Fox. You know, I just out of respect. And they said it was okay. So I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll do 4 songs that we don't play out, and I'll do 1 song, which we'll talk about in a little bit, that we do play out. That's okay. And I said, no problem. So I get down there at 9:30, 10 o'clock, the musicians start showing up. And the musicians that I have is the piano player. His name is Tim Atwood. And just a little bit about Tim, if you Google him, he was a house piano player on the Grand Ole Opry. I think it was like 30 years or something like that. So he's been playing music a long, long time. He too is a accomplished musician. You got steel guitar, Eddie Lane. And you got drums, Ronnie McDowell Jr. And for those who know country music, his daddy is Ronnie McDowell, who has a bunch of number one country hits.
I love that song, Older Women.
What's that?
I said I love that song, Older Women. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, Older Women. Yeah, that his son was my drummer on this CD.
Amazing.
On this record. And then you got the lead guitar, Eugene Moles. Bass guitar, Anthony Valentine, and acoustic, Barry Wayne, also the owner of the store, actually played acoustic on this, and the lovely, lovely backup vocalist is LaDonna Brewer Capps, who's now my music agent. LaDonna is one of the most sought-after backup vocalists in Nashville. Furthermore, she wrote one of Conway Twitty's hits back in 92, and so she's very much accomplished, and she's one representing me now, and it was a beautiful thing. But we get down there at 10 in the morning, I bring the music in, the lyrics and the chord changes, and then they play. Because these songs are on YouTube, they listen to it on YouTube, and we all talked about how we wanted to go. And they started doing things with numbers like, we're going to chart this, and it's a 1, 4, 2, and a blah, blah, blah. And I didn't understand it. I just didn't understand the language, you know. They call things diamonds, and I didn't understand it. You know, I was going to joke around and throw in a ruby, but I don't think they would have laughed.
I would have.
You might have laughed, but I was having fun with it. So we go into the recording studio, and I'm in a booth, and the drummers are in the booth, and the other guys are out in the room, and we all have headphones on. And from the very first note that was played, it's nothing but magic. And they put their heart and soul into every song that I wrote. And we play it maybe all the way through 3 or 4 times, and then they would have their track down. Then we'd go on to the next song, do the same thing. We'd look at the song, talk about it. But Cowboy Dance, my mom just cringed when they watched the Cowboy Dance. I'm a little dance, and she's kind of embarrassed, you know, in there. And I've got to laugh, and then do like a horse thing, you know. And she didn't think it was too funny, but I thought it was kind of funny. You know, so I said, Mom, you got to have fun with it. I said, quit being, you know, stick in the mud, you know. And so that's how it was done. And, you know, those guys played with me from like 10 to 2 o'clock. And then Barry says, Arnold, go get some lunch, and we'll come back and we'll do this. So I come back to the studio around 4. And that's when it really got interesting, because then I sang from like 4 in the afternoon to, I don't know, 8 o'clock, and I don't remember the exact time, but it was like 3 or 4 hours. And what you do is I'd sing a part, and then would go back, and he'd coach me on something, or he'd say, hey, you got to do it this way, or he would never tell me how to do it a certain way. I'm the customer, but he would encourage me to do it a certain way.
And yeah, suggest.
I said, Barry, I don't have any number one hits on my wall. You know, you've got, what, 6 or 7, 8? I don't know how many you got. I think I need to listen to you, Barry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You know, so... So we did that, and then about 8 o'clock or so, I think LaDonna got there, and I believe she started singing back up around 10 at night. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, musicians in Nashville, they go all night long. And she started about 10, and she went through every song, and she took her time. She looked at it, and she said, I got some ideas going through my head, and next thing I know, it's like magic. She's in there, she does all the voices. So when you hear the album, there's only one backup singer, and that's LaDonna, and she does high, medium, low. And then it condenses it down for the backup, and it's beautifully done. And it's beautiful. And we got finished, Fox, and I know I'm kind of rambling here, but
that's okay.
We got finished at 12:40 in the morning. So I started at 9:30 and I finished at 12:40 in the morning. And, you know, I told Barry, I said, Barry, I'm so sorry keeping you late. He said, Arnold, he said, no big deal. He said, we do this all the time. I'm thinking, wow. And I thought I put hours in, you know, at work. Are you kidding me? So the time I got home back to West Kentucky from Nashville, it was 3:30 a.m. and my day had started 7 a.m. the previous day, you know, on the trip down there. So that's kind of how it happened. And we didn't mix anything then. I came on back home, and over the next few days, he mixed it up. And he sent me the songs on that following Monday, and it was like magic. Absolute magic. When you listen to this, everybody that listens to this album, this five-song album that we got, they're blown away with the quality and the amount of work that went into this. So I know everybody's going to love this CD when they hear it, and I'm just really proud of those musicians and Tone Swinger and Summer Sky Music and LaDonna and Barry. They just really treated me like family.
It sounds like they really, really did, and you were kind enough and gracious enough to share those songs with me, and take it from me and Arnold too. These songs are they're spectacular. They're meaningful. They're relatable. And in the case of the Cowboy Dance, you can dance to them, baby.
Oh yeah, you can shake the little fanny. You know that's what it's all about. You know, and you know you want to come and get it. You know that's a catchy little saying right there. You know you want it. You know you need it. Come and get it.
That's absolutely correct. Outstanding storytelling, Arnold. This has gotten off to a great start. Let's talk about this a little bit. The anatomy of the songs. Cole Porter, a master songwriter, Broadway composer, was once thrown under his horse and pinned under it. When he was there, he pulled out a pencil and he wrote the song Long Last Love. I want to ask you, the song Saying Goodbye, part of your EP, how did that come about?
Saying Goodbye, you know, I think we all go through our lives. When my stepfather passed away in 1987, December 10th, 1987, I was by his side, and, you know, I was sitting there, and, you know, talking to my stepdad. You know, he treated me like his own son, even though, you know, I was a stepson. And, you know, I just told, you know, he's in a lot of suffering, and he was like, you think you're unconscious, you know, when you're talking to him, but they hear you. And
sure.
I just told him, you know, Dad, just, you know, go on, you know, I'll take care of things. And a little tear, you know, went down his cheek, and it wasn't 30 minutes later, he was gone. And, well, my wife, unfortunately, had experienced that with her mama. And I wrote a song about my dad then too. When those kind of tragedies happen, it's natural for me to write down the words and how I'm feeling, and I can't help myself. So my mother-in-law passed away at 65 years old, and what happened was her heart valve, that she had a replacement heart valve, I guess about 7 years ago, and that's supposed to go like 10 years, and it malfunctioned, long story short. So my mother-in-law was in the hospital about a week and a half, and my wife had to quickly fly home. But after we went down there the previous weekend to see my mother-in-law, she was doing great. But what I didn't know was I have the blessing from God, because my wife had a chance to see her, you know, good. And we left on a Sunday to come back to New Jersey. And I thought, nothing's wrong. Your mom should be home. Well, that following Monday, I'm at work at West Nyack, New York. And my wife calls me crying and says, I got to fly back home. Mom's heart just stopped four times.
Man.
And it just tore me up. So, you know, Sonia goes home. My wife's name's Sonia. She goes home, and I'm here with the kids left by myself up in New Jersey. And what do? I do what Arnold does best. When I get a few moments, I pluck on a guitar, pluck on a keyboard or something. And I felt led to write a song about her mom, you know, her as Sonia, through Sonia's eyes. So the song is about her mom, but it's my wife speaking to her mom. How do you say goodbye? You know, and it's a very touching song. And, you know, it's a moving song. I did this song at my mother-in-law's funeral as well, and I managed to get through it without breaking down. But it's a very good song, and I think a lot of people can relate to it.
Is you mentioned hard to get through. I mean, say if you play it 10 times, how many of those times, Arnold, do you break down?
Well, it depends. You know, it depends what kind of mood I'm in. I will tell you, on the recording, which you can't always hear it, but on that very last howl, I kind of, Barry didn't pick up on it, but I almost broke down when I did it in Nashville. And I didn't edit it out. I just thought that's, you know, I want people to know who I am as a person. You know, I don't expect everything to be perfect. And I don't think music is not supposed to be perfect. I mean, I want to hear, you know, the real person. And you know, I could be listening to it. I've listened to it all today. I probably listened to it a dozen times because I've been sharing it with people and I didn't break down once. But in the morning, I might listen to it. And if I, you know, what kind of mood, man, I might break down. You know, it's just, you know, it's that emotional of a song. How do I say goodbye? You know, how do I live? You know, basically your whole life's changing. You know, how am I going to do this now that, you know, her mom is gone and, you know, her life is totally turned around now. And, you know, and then while she's sitting there, you know, talking to her mom, you know, you got all these memories coming back, and the good times and the bad. And it's just precious. And so I wrote the song saying goodbye, and that's, you know, that's what it is.
Absolutely. Listen, people, this is going to be a world premiere of this song. And Arnold, I think it needs to be you to introduce the song Saying Goodbye. So why don't you go ahead and do that?
Well, this is the song Saying Goodbye.
Okay, we're back after the song Saying Goodbye, and now we have a little bit of a song with a different beat. It's called Single Wide Trailer. Arnold, why don't you explain the anatomy of this song?
Now, this is a fun song. You know, out of tragedy comes a lot of good things. You just got to believe that. And so when my father passed in 1979, I was born in Dearborn, Michigan. So I'm not really a true Southerner, but don't tell everybody that.
I won't.
Even though I did grow up in Kentucky. That'd get me in trouble. A lot of people think I was raised in the South, or I was born in the South, but I'm not. So we moved from Detroit area down to far western Kentucky in 1979. That's after my father passed. And down there is a little bit different. My grandmother had a three-room house. Still had running water, but just barely. And you had the old outhouse, believe it or not. I know what that's all about. And during the summers when we visited, they actually had to bring water to the house with a water truck, believe it or not. We didn't have a well for the longest time. So there's this little farm and that we had there. And when people got married back then, they would bring these, instead of building a house, they'd bring a single wide trailer in there. So this, we had about 6.5 acres and, you know, had pigs and had a cow and chickens and all this stuff. And so my uncle had a trailer. My other uncle had a trailer. My cousin had a trailer. Mom, because, you know, when dad died, she lost income. We had to live in a trailer. So she brought a trailer in there. So here we are all hooked up on the farm with trailers. And single wide trailer is about how I grew up. You know, it's, talks about, you know, we like it slow, we like it hot, you know, if you don't like that, get out of here, that kind of thing. And it's kind of like I got that honky tonk sound, but it's kind of the way I grew up. And single wide trailer with a bucket of beer and a lawn chair in the yard. You know, our good times was playing music. I mean, my family, I can remember early days, like my uncles getting the banjos out and guitars and having a bonfire, having a little cookout going on. We didn't have a whole lot of money, but we had a lot of love and a lot of closeness and companionship, and that's all that matters. And so single wide trailer is really about my early years. And we lived like that for 2 or 3 years before my mom remarried my stepfather. And then we moved to Coward City, Kentucky, where I pretty much grew up. And when we lived in a house then. But there's a few years there that I got some good memories. They weren't bad. Because I lived in a trailer, that's not a bad thing. That's actually a pretty good thing. And there's a lot of people that do. And I love that kind of living. And so it's a fun song. And hope people enjoy it.
Yes, and you can tell when you sing the song about the affection you had for the way that you grew up. And it really comes through in your music. Arnold, now it's going to be a world premiere. Why don't you please introduce the song, Single Wide Trailer?
I hope you enjoy it, y'all. This is Single Wide Trailer by Arnold Conway.
A bucket of beer, a lawn chair in the yard. Don't take much to live around here in an old dog in a car. So we clean all that, just get out of here before you think it's way too far.
Way too far.
A single wide trailer with a bucket of beer and a lawn chair in the yard. We like it hot,
hot.
And we don't care.
We don't care.
Like it or not.
Like it or not.
We like it slow. We like it hot,
hot.
Every morning to hang on an acre lot. Yeah. A lawn chair in the yard. Well, we're knocking them back like the end of the year. We got a bonfire in the yard. So if you ain't all that, just get out of here before you take this way too far.
Way too far.
Single wide trailer with a bucket of beer and a lawn chair in the yard.
Woo!
like me in the kitchen. We got a bonfire in the yard. So keep waiting on that. Just get out of here before you take it way too far.
Way too far.
In the right center with a bucket of beer and a strong chair in the yard. A bucket of beer in a long chair in the yard.
And we are back after single wide trailer. Arnold, it is time for a game. It's called What, Which, and Where. Are you ready?
Rock and roll, baby.
It's rock and roll. I'll give you a line maybe from a song, a book, a famous quote. You tell me maybe which or where it came from. Here we go. First one goes like this. If your heartaches are many and your friends are few, ... I sympathize with you.
See, that's now you ask me who sung that song?
Yes, sir.
If your heartache, oh man. I want to say that's an old song. I'm not really sure. Eddie Arnold? I don't know.
A very relevant artist in this podcast. Very relevant. One of the greats.
One of the greats.
Just try again. Just think about it a little bit. Very relevant. He's been mentioned many times in this podcast.
Oh, just do it. Can you say it again? Give me another try.
I will surely do that for you. If your heartaches are many and your friends are few, ... I sympathize with you.
Your heartaches are many and few. I'm gonna guess. Charlie Pride?
Arnold, your mother is gonna be very upset at you right now. Very upset. Listen.
I can't picture. Maybe you need to sing it, man. I'm not hearing that, you know, that rhythm. I'm not hearing that.
That's certainly
the words I can't think of.
That's certainly true, but if I sang that, this great man would roll over in his grave and the windows in my condo would break. Arnold, that is indeed the late great Conway Twitty.
Oh man, my friends are gonna get on to me for that. I didn't catch it. Now, if you said lay you down and softly whisper, I would have got that one, you know, or 15 years ago. I would have got those, but I didn't catch that one. So
That's okay. It's from a song called I'll Try. Just trying to go in depth with the from the late, great Conway Twitty. Let's see. Before we get into the next question, can you talk about a little bit about your mother's affection for Conway Twitty's work?
Oh, Mom loves Conway Twitty's work. Mom loves all kinds of country music. But, you know, 15 years ago, was one of her favorite songs. I've done that before, lay you down, Linda on My Mind. If you look on my YouTube page, I actually do Linda on My Mind. That was a big song that we used to do all the time. And so, you know, when you talk about Conway Twitty, he's in the class of George Jones. He's in the class of Merle Haggard.
No question.
Which Madonna, by the way, also did songs from Merle Haggard. And so he's in that class of people, Charlie Pride, Don Williams. I mean, they're the greats of country music.
No question about it. So again, the quote again, if your heartaches are many and your friends are few, well, darling, I sympathize with you. That's Conway Twitty, I'll Try. Second question, if I can call it that, in What, Which, and Where. It goes like this. Are you trying to stand out, but sure your twin is out there, no doubt?
By the loss of an Easter egg there, Fox, I don't know about this one at all.
you surely do. This person is very close to you right now.
Very close to me right now. I'm not sure, man. Is it a musician?
I would like to call him that. He is a budding musician of sorts. He is a songwriter. This person is a songwriter.
Right. Well, it's not you, is it? Is it Fox?
It's unquestionably me. Yes, sir. Arnold, you are correct.
Oh, wow, good, man. I see there. I pulled that one out of the hat. You hit on that one. See, 1-2 is not bad.
Yeah, absolutely right. You're going to the Hall of Fame, Arnold. You were 1-for-2, batting average of 500. That's actually from my book, Letter Kindling, Igniting, Inspiring, Invoking the Fire Within. I just had to drop that one in there.
Sure. Yeah, I'm gonna take a good look at your book, too. So that's going to be an awesome thing. And I'll give you some feedback on it.
And that would be great. And like I tell most people that buy my book, please, Arnold, wait at least a week before you put it on eBay.
Oh, absolutely. One thing, Fox, I'd like to say, too, and I know this is kind of a sidebar, is you're a great – you sent me some lyrics, and that lyrics, A Message from Heaven.
Yes.
Was wonderfully written. And, I got it on Friday of this past week, and you sent those to me. Actually, that day I was pretty tired.
You were?
I come home, and I was like, yeah, I was going to go to bed and take a nap, and you sent me that. I looked at that, and this tune popped in my head. And I said, I've got to do this before I go to sleep because I'll forget it. And when I sent you, even though it was rough, I was really tired, but I sent that, and I did it tonight in my guitar lesson. I said, this song, I said, Fox wrote the lyrics, but I wrote the melody and the music to it. It's kind of like Elton John and Bernie Taupin.
Yes,
Bernie wrote a lot of Elton songs. Well, it could be the same thing, and you're a great writer, and hopefully, I hope you like the tune. I don't know if that's what you had in mind, but I kind of like doing that. I've done that for, well, you're the third person I've done that for, when people would send me a poem, and I'd just write the music behind it, and I think it's beautiful. I think it came out great.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I'm flattered that you did it. A lot too, Arnold, because we talked on Friday. I called you on Friday, and within 2 hours, you had the song. I certainly didn't expect that, but yeah, it's a great collaboration, people. The song is called "A Message from Heaven." But hats off to you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I mean, that's just outstanding. Arnold, just to go back a little bit of ways, you sort of skipped over my comment. I tried to make a joke about my book, how you would put it on eBay. Are you honestly going to put my book on eBay?
If I don't put your book on eBay, are you kidding me? No, I ain't put your book on eBay. I would cherish that thing, I'll bring it to my pillow, like a tooth, I went on Google, did a little bit, and I was trying to read a little bit, but I didn't have a chance, just kind of, they got like, little pieces of it here and there, and I know it's on the way, but I'm looking forward to reading it and sharing that with others. I didn't mention it today, to let you know that, when the music store today, where I had my music lesson, I did. Isn't that funny? I'm recording in Nashville. I'm just taking music lessons. But again, that's, you should never quit learning. You never should never quit learning. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting it and giving you some feedback on it. Maybe I might be able to take a few verses out of it and write some songs around it.
Sure. The song "Message from Heaven," most of those lyrics were taken from the first poem in the book called "He Looks Back at Me and Says." So I just used that in the chorus and sort of rearranged the lyrics so you could sing them. So and again, you put your magic touch on it, and it sounds great, man.
Well, I appreciate that, and I kind of surmised that because I think your book sort of got a lot of poems and all in it for the common man, is what I was reading online, and I thought, so I was trying to find those words, and of course I couldn't. I have no iPhone, I can't see it. I'm getting where I can't see it close anyway, and I said, well, I'll just get it when the book gets here. I'll thumb through it. So yeah, it's well written, man. I'll tell you that song really, or those lyrics really touched me. Yeah. And I'm glad you liked the song. Yeah.
Much, much appreciated. Arnold, we've covered a lot here, a bunch of your music and stories about you growing up and the inspirations for your music. To wrap up here, talk a little bit about your band, Fire on the Wire. When are some of your upcoming gigs with your band? And Arnold and I would be remiss not to mention the band members' names. We have drummer Mark Banovich, rhythm and backup singer Tom Kopsko, steel and lead guitar, Charles Wilson, and of course, lead singer and rhythm guitar, you, Arnold Connolly.
Well, we just played the Washington VFW here in Washington, New Jersey. It's in Warren County. We played, I guess it's been a couple weeks ago now, July 15th, I think it was. And what we do, we've kind of partnered with the Washington VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and we do shows for them, for charity. So I'm not making any money yet on something. I wouldn't make money on that anyway. And we brought in a comedy act, or the VFW brought in a comedy act in New York City, and they did their thing, and then Fire and the Wire played after that. And our next show that we got planned is August the 26th. And it's Pahatcong, and now being from Kentucky, I can't really pronounce that, but it's near Phillipsburg for those who's local. They know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And it's going to be at the community center at 3 o'clock. We're opening up for Tweet and the Sugar Daddies.
Okay.
Tweet and the Sugar Daddies is a great rockabilly band here in New Jersey. And we're looking for a good time. And so come on out and see us 3 o'clock on the 26th of August. It's on a Saturday.
Got you. The name of the town, is it Hapatcong?
Yeah, it starts with a P, Pohatcong.
Oh,
it's not
okay.
Pohat, and it's not next to Mount Hope. It's over by Phillipsburg.
Got you. I've also got the name of the town wrong because I'm not familiar with it. But maybe we'll fire it in the write-up here just to be clear with everybody. But again, you know, I haven't seen y'all live, but I've seen a lot of your work on YouTube and online. I highly recommend people going out and seeing Fire on the Wire live. They are a great time.
Well, thank you there, Biff Fox. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, before we end with the last couple of questions, you know, your experience at Tone Slinger Studios studio looked great. You can tell by the passion you speak of that experience. Do you want to give a shout out to the people that helped you there?
Yeah, absolutely. Barry Wayne, the owner of the store, he was the producer and the engineer, and he was the owner and producer of Tone Slinger Records. I'd also like to, again, mention Tim Atwood on piano, Eddie Lang on steel guitar, Ryan McDowell Jr. on drums, lead guitar Eugene Moles, bass Anthony Valentine, acoustics Barry Wayne, and backup vocals LaDonna Brewer Caps. And if you want to touch base with those guys down there, LaDonna's number is 615-424-5207, and she'd be glad to hook you up down there and you know, get some recording time. And I had the A-Team in Nashville. I mean, it's right across from Optiland entrance. You can't get no better than that.
Wow.
Great people.
Wow. I didn't realize that. Outstanding experience for you down in Nashville. Second to last question, Arnold, how can people get in touch with you and hear your work?
Sure. The easiest way to get a hold of me is just call me on telephone. I'm going to give you two numbers. The first number is my New Jersey number. It's 973-703-7254. That's also my work number, and I always have that with me. My personal number is my Kentucky number. It's 270-205-2707. You can also send me email, Arnold Connolly, just like it's spelled, @gmail.com. And if you really want to get more about me, you can Google me. I'm all over Google. I'm LinkedIn and everything else. So you can get a hold of me that way. And you can also reach out to LaDonna. She's my music agent at 615-424-5207. And her name of her company is Summer Sky Music Group. And she'd be glad to, you know, talk to you about, you know, gigs or whatever you need.
Great. That's Arnold Connolly, two N's, two L's, correct?
Yes, it's two N's, two L's, and an E, because some people spell my other spell. It's ArnoldConnelly @gmail.com. It's all one word.
Outstanding. To wrap up, Arnold, who would you like to hear on an upcoming podcast?
Who would I like to hear? Does it have to be in music?
It can be anybody you'd like, just somebody attainable, I guess.
Okay. The fellow I'd like to see or hear on your station here, your show, is a fellow named David Duncafusca.
Wow. Spell that.
David, we could... Yeah, well, don't ask me.
That's pretty hard.
I think it's B-U-C-C-A-F-U-S-C-A, Buckafusca. I know. We call him Bucky.
Okay.
And let me tell you why. Bucky is the most passionate guy I know in my whole life. He's battled cancer. He's on the second round, and he's a supervisor at the Rock Quarry. This guy, he just keeps going. I tell him to go home. He won't listen to me. He's passionate about racing. Race cars, and his son runs these slingshots, and he's like one of the best in the slingshot racing business.
Sure.
And Bucky's an inspiration to me. He inspires me to, when I want to quit, he keeps me going, you know. And if a guy like that who's fighting, you know, what he's been going through, some, you know, some serious stuff, and he's there at work every day, you know, he's got the pump on. I'm saying, Bucky, go home. You can't kick that guy. They said, oh, I'm going to keep on going, fighting. and we're going to win. He believes in winning. And that's what I want to do, is I want to win. So I would love to hear, you know, tell you, for him to tell the story, his story about, you know, his race cars and where his son is and how he came up. So, old Bucky, that's the guy I'd like to see on your show.
Arnold, I love Bucky already.
Yeah, he's a great guy. When you meet him, when you talk to him, it's going to blow your mind, the things that he's done and accomplished in his life. And Bucky and I have become really good friends over, you know, I've been in New Jersey 8 years, and I've known Bucky, I guess, probably six of those years now. And, man, what a wonderful friend and just an inspiration to me. The toughest guy I ever met in my life is Bucky.
Outstanding.
And we can learn a lot from him.
I'm sure we can. Arnold, that is going to wrap up episode 19 of the podcast. It's been a blast. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fox, and I appreciate your time, buddy.
Absolutely. That will wrap up episode 19 of the What's Your Inspiration podcast. Arnold and I will talk at you all later. Take good care.
You have been listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Beyer. Because impact on each other is the greatest currency you could ever have.
Individuality saved. Are you trying to stand out? But sure, your twin is out there, no doubt. They wear what you wear and do what you do. Your carbon copy, nothing new. But do they have your tone, your heartbeat, your mission? Surely they do not. It's impossible to find out what lies within. With so many similar variables, remember how particularly you were made. Have no fear. Your individuality is saved.